Discovery Church. How are you? It's so good to see you this morning. As Andrew said, it is our family Sunday. We do that at the last Sunday of every month, but our nursery and our pre-K is still open if you are wanting to use that today. And I know, you know, elementary is young, so if we get a little restless this morning, room 2 is also available, all right? But it is good to see you today. I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited about this message this morning. I think it's really going to minister to your hearts. All right, so let's start today with Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. Amen? Hallelujah. So my sermon title today is simply this. It's called Move. From the spirit of a slave mentality to free child of God. Amen. We're going to focus a lot of our scripture out of the Old Testament today. And I want you to keep in mind that when we're looking at the Old Testament, that's not what we live under, right? We live under the New Covenant. But we can pull a lot from the Old Testament because it's a foreshadowing of Christ coming and saving us on the cross, right? Providing our salvation. So we're going to start our story today in the book of Exodus, all right? And here in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel have been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, that's a long time? We're going to examine their journey from slavery to freedom through the wilderness and to Canaan, the promised land, which God said that he would give to them. See, when most of us think of the children of Israel and the story and their wandering in the wilderness, we think back to Sunday school, at least that's what I think of, and I was taught that they were stuck in the wilderness for all this time because they were complainers and ungrateful. Was anybody else taught that as well? So if we really examine what's going on here, it's not their complaining that keeps them wandering in the wilderness. It's actually their unbelief in God. That's what keeps them in that spot. See, the root issue for them, for not moving into the promised land, was an ingrained mentality caused by their slavery that had been produced over a long period of time. See, for 400 years, year after year, day after day, generation after generation, from the time that they woke up, from the time that they laid down, with every inhale and exhale, they were slaves. They were denied their freedom. Because of their surroundings and their circumstances, and because of what Pharaoh said that they were, they viewed themselves through the eyes of what and who held them captive versus the eyes of God who called them chosen. I want us to look at Exodus 6 for a second. Verse 6, we're going to look at 6 through 9. This is a long passage of scripture, but stay with me for a second because we're going to pull a lot of stuff out of this. It says, therefore, say to the children of Israel, this is God talking to Moses, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will free you from their bondage. I will redeem and rescue you with an outstretched, vigorous, powerful arm and with great acts of judgment against Egypt. Next verse. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who redeemed you and brought you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. Verse 8. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. You have the promise, and we still have this promise, of my changeless omnipotence and faithfulness. Aren't you thankful for his faithfulness today? And Moses told this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their, we're going to stop right here with, because of their impatience. See, the word impatience in this passage is literally translated to broken spirit. Broken spirit. Now, have you ever been in a place in your life where you were so traumatized by circumstance, or you were left so hopeless because something lasted for so long that you had a hard time hearing the voice and believing the voice of the Lord saying that he was going to deliver you. See, we can sometimes get really caught up in a spot when we've been so burdened with this situation that we are just broken. Just so broken and so turned inward and so focused on what's happening and what's going on just around us and within us that we can't even hear. We can't even believe God saying that he is here and he is ready to deliver us. See, it wasn't that they didn't desire their freedom. Of course they did. Of course. It was that they were so familiar with the place that they had been in for so long that they couldn't even hear and recognize the voice of God telling them it was time to move. Their lives had been so brutal that there was this low expectation and a severe amount of doubt that their environment was never, ever going to change for the better. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the end of the scripture, but I want to go over the next few chapters in Exodus. God speaks to Moses. You guys know the story, right? And he says, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. For those of us that are familiar with this, we see that Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he refused to free the Israelites. Therefore, God said, okay, I'm going to send some plagues on the land to make Pharaoh free the Israelites. There were 10 plagues. Everyone say the number 10, because this is going to come up multiple times here. There were 10 plagues that were sent upon Egypt. A few of them are their water supply being turned to blood, frogs, gross, lice, boils, right? Gross, locusts, darkness, and then death of their firstborn. And with each one of those, Moses keeps going back to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Let my people go. And Pharaoh refuses time and time again. In the Bible, the number 10 is a symbol for the authority of God and his government on earth. It's also the symbol of the law. It is considered to be a representation of the responsibility of people towards God's law. I want you to keep this in mind as the story goes on. See, God's sending these plagues because he's making a distinction between his feelings of what and who has kept his people in slavery versus how he views and feels about his people. In essence, he is showing them and reminding them that he always was, always is, and always will be for them. Mm-hmm. He was willing to do whatever it took to bring them their freedom. Just like God did whatever it took to provide us our freedom in Jesus. At the end of the scripture in verse 9, it says, Moses told the Israelites, but they did not listen because of their broken spirit, despondency, and because of their forced labor. Let's look at the word forced labor. See, the biggest sign that you are in a mentality that is not of sonship in your walk with Christ is not entering into the finished work of the cross, the rest that we find in the finished work of the cross. When we find ourselves striving to earn God's love and grace rather than receiving it freely, we have taken on a slave mentality of earning versus a son and daughter mentality of receiving. Hebrews 4:10 through 11. It says, for the one who has once entered his rest has also rested from the weariness and pain of his human labors, just as God rested from those labors uniquely his own. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest of God and to know and experience it for ourselves so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience as those who died in the wilderness. The word disobedience right here in the Greek, it literally means willful unbelief. willful unbelief. It's not like a sin action, like complaining, like, you know, we were taught. It's a willful unbelief in God and who he says that he is. See, Israel was willfully disobedient because of their disbelief in God and who he said that they were. When we strive to live up to the law and out of our own efforts, instead of our freedom in Christ, we are living in unbelief of who Jesus says that we are in him. We are essentially proclaiming that our human behavior is holier and has more power to redeem us than Jesus himself. That's a lot of pride, if you think about it. That's a lot of pride, right? We don't live that way. In this mindset, we become despondent and aren't able to activate our faith to who Jesus is and what he has spoken over us, because when you look at yourself as a savior, you're going to get really discouraged, right? Right? Because we have a conscience, like we know who we are, right? We have examined ourselves. We understand that we can't live up to an expectation, right? But Jesus did. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts 16:31, it says, "Believe in the Lord and you will be saved." Saved right here means you'll be healed, protected, rescued, and delivered. Right? And that's what God is doing right here for his people. Here are a few things. If you don't have a revelation of a child of God, here's some of the things that we experience. We experience fear of failure, fear of lack. We assume that God is going to disappoint or abandon us. We live a life of low expectation. You know, maybe you wake up every morning and you hate your job, but you just continue to go, and God's saying, I have something better for you, something that you're actually really going to enjoy and walk in your purpose, but you just continue to go do it because you don't have enough faith that he can give you anything better. Or maybe you don't think that you're intelligent enough or capable enough of something bigger and better. That's not a child, a sonship of God mentality. See, whenever we aren't walking in a sonship mentality, we don't step into our purpose, or we feel unqualified. We believe what others speak over us more than what we believe what God speaks over us. We see ourselves out of a place of condemnation versus out of a place of grace and redemption. See, but a mindset of a child of God knows a few things. They know that they are loved, that they know that they are redeemed, they know they are forgiven and healed and righteous and well able and called with a purpose, and a belief that God is always good no matter what the current circumstances look like, and that he is never going to fail, he's never going to abandon you, he's never going to disappoint you. That's what we have when we have a mindset of God as Abba Father. Amen. As we proceed in the story, we see that Pharaoh finally releases the children of Israel. And we see this in Exodus 12. Let's take a look at this. Exodus 12, 31 through 32. I love this. Then he called for Moses and Aaron. This is Pharaoh. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night, in the darkest hour, and said, "Get up and get out from among my people." Now he's telling them, you must leave. Like, you must get out of this place. You must be free. Get out from among my people, both you and the Israelites, and go serve the Lord as you said. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and go and ask your God. He said, it's not his God, right? Your God to bless me also. See, when we understand who we are in God, other people can see it as well. You should be walking in such favor and blessing and power that other people around you recognize it. And here we see that he Pharaoh, he recognizes the power of God and the blessing over the lives of the children of Israel. That's an awesome scripture. And in verse 35 through 36, we see that the Israelites acted in accordance with the word of Moses. And they go and they ask the Egyptians for articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked. When you know your identity, authority, and sonship in Christ, you are not afraid to ask and believe for God's best. And you are not afraid of any enemy that may rise up against you. As we move into Exodus 14, we see something happen here. We see that Pharaoh has a little change of heart. And he says, "What is this we have done, letting Israel go from serving us?" I love that he won't take any of the blame. He doesn't say, "What have I done?" He said, "Us. What have we done?" I mean, he's something else, right? And he commands his army. So what have we done, you know? And he commands his army to chase after the Israelites. Let's look at verse 10 through 12 here. This is really interesting. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were very what? Frightened. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They were very frightened. See, God had just sent multiple plagues. He had freed them after 400 years of slavery. They walked out of Egypt with what had held them captive. They walked out with their captives' wealth. And yet, in one moment, when they saw the enemy approach, they forgot everything God had just done for them. Are we not like that so much? And even, you know, I would say that in my own life. I've seen God be so faithful, and then maybe we come up with something, an obstacle or something that seems just, you know, way too big and out of our control, and our immediate response is to operate in fear. And we all of a sudden forget who God is. See, that's when you know that your mind hasn't been fully renewed to how much God loves you, because he's always going to work on your behalf. See, let's look at this next verse. They said, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What is this that you have done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?" See, their first response when something approached them, the enemy came, was to go back under slavery from which God had just freed them. See, no matter how horrendous that life was, to them it was predictable and it felt the most natural. See, if we don't renew our minds consistently to God's word, we run the risk of falling back into what once held us captive, an old way of thinking, because in our flesh, that is what feels predictable and most natural. Now, last year was kind of a train wreck, can we all agree? Were there times that you felt a little nervous, a little afraid? I would say for myself, yes, absolutely. Right? There were times where I just don't want to hunker down, and I'm a social person. I like to go out and have fun and hang out with my friends, so that was hard on me. And I could feel this like anxiety really just kind of kicking in, and this depression kind of, you know, when you're secluded from people, that's a little rough, right? I would say. And some of you might have liked that. Some of you introverts out there might have been all about that. But for me, I didn't like that. But those are the moments where I didn't have my focus on Jesus, right? Because any times we start to experience that anxiety, we have shifted our focus away from him and into ourselves. It says, In verse 12, let us serve the Egyptians. The word serve means labor or work. It's natural for us to want to earn or work for our salvation, because everything in our human existence is conditional on our actions and behaviors. God's love for you is never conditional on what you do for him. In verse 13 and 14, it says, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Take your stand, be firm and confident and undismayed. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. I love Moses' faith, so bold. He said, do not be afraid. Another translation says, you need to be still. And the word be still here means realized you're engraved. Realize you're engraved. In Isaiah 49:16, it says, indeed, I have inscribed or engraved a picture of you on the palms of my hands. Your city walls are continually before me. See, when we realize that our spirit is sealed, and we are son and daughter of Christ, we don't have a fear that he just tosses us out, right? And we don't have this mindset that, you know, we can say like, oh, I ran from God and then I came back. No, not really. You just had a moment of wrong thinking. Because you are consistently, if you are tattooed, engraved in the palm of God's hand, honey, you're not going anywhere. Right? You're not going anywhere. So you can't go anywhere. He's not going to leave you. You're always right there, and he's always looking at you. And you're always able to look at him. There is this intimacy that happens there. God stepped in and said, you are mine, and you are no longer a slave to your former self. If we are not careful, religion, other people, and a lot of times ourselves, can convince us that we aren't who God says that we are. And if we haven't changed our minds, we quickly revert back to working and relying on ourselves rather than the finished work of Christ. I want you to look at Ephesians 4:22 through 24. That regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature created in God's image, Godlike, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. Your gratitude for your salvation. See, when we walk in the belief that we are who God says we are, that is the ultimate form of praise and thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. In Exodus 14:15, the Lord says to Moses, he says, why do you cry to me? Tell the sons, here's this word from my title this morning, tell the sons of Israel to move forward. Now, I think that could be a word for somebody this morning here. Maybe you have felt yourself stuck in a place, a mindset, a situation that you know is not who you are or God's best for your life. And today God is saying, I want you to move. I've given you the power and the freedom to move forward. Maybe that's a situation that's happened 20 years ago and it still replays over and over and over in your head. A wound, a hurt, something somebody has spoken over you that wasn't of God. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. It's time to move. It's time to move. I have granted you your freedom. Moses stretches his hand toward the sea. The Lord swept the sea back so there was dry land for the Israelites to go through. See, God never takes you to a place he's promised without his provision going before you, right? So this is why you don't have to be afraid. And the Israelites make it to the other side. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to make it to the other side. They make it to the other side. Moses stretches back his hand again, just as the Lord tells him to. The sea returns to normal, and the enemy drowns. You don't need to go here, but 1 Corinthians 15:54, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? So he gives them before their very eyes their victory. They've seen it. They've been delivered. They've seen the plagues. They've been made free. They've seen the enemy completely demolished. And yet, as we see them continue on their journey, there's this reoccurring theme of them complaining to Moses of how much better it was to be enslaved by the Egyptians rather than to accept the promised land flowing with abundance that God already provided. Exodus 16:2-4. The whole congregation of the Israelites grew discontented and murmured and rebelled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and ate bread until we were full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this entire assembly with hunger. I always feel so bad for Moses in this story. He's just following what God told him to do. And he has this entire, he's like, I brought you out. I did what God said. I was brave. I was fearful because I just didn't feel like I was good at speaking, and I stepped out in faith, and I've done all this stuff, and yet you still aren't thankful for what has happened. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will cause bread to rain from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather it, a day's portion every day, so that I may test them to determine whether or not they will walk obediently in my instruction. They viewed God through the eyes of the abuse that they had endured. And in doing that, they also viewed God as their abuser, as an evil master whose response toward them would be unpredictable at best. Even worse, they had more faith in Pharaoh's quote-unquote goodness and provision than they did in God. That's really sad. Even when we are striving in our own efforts, God always works by revealing his character of love to us. That continual revelation of his love is what turns our gaze from thinking that we are our own saviors to recognizing that he is the ultimate savior. That he is nothing but good, always was, always is, and always will be. In Exodus 21:2, it says, then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. The Message Bible says, out of a life of slavery, just like Jesus has done for us. In John 8:35-36, it says, now the slave does not remain in a household forever. So if the Son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free. There's no doubt about it this morning. See, the children of Israel refused to accept the identity that God gave them. We see this in these next verses. So God begins to give, here's that number again, the Ten Commandments. That number that says, now it's your responsibility to be perfect, since you won't rely on me and who I am and freely receive. Now I'm going to give you the responsibility, and let's see how that works. Let's see how well we do with this thing called the Ten Commandments, the law, and if you can live up to it. See, the law pointed to the people who refused to see God as their ultimate savior, their ultimate deliverer, the one that made them free, the God that provided for them time and time again. They refused to put their faith in him because they were too focused on their past circumstances and themselves. The same law that Jesus fulfilled on the cross, thank God, for us, that we might be saved through his ultimate work and not of our human effort. So Jesus is always willing to do whatever it takes to show that he is the only thing, the only one that can save us. And that's what he's doing right here with the children of Israel. He's like, I'm going to show you how good I am and how you are really only made free and righteous through me. In Numbers 13, there's a lot in this story, but I know some of us have brunch plans today, so I'm not going to I'm not going to keep you forever, right? I start to get hungry right around this time, so I understand. And the horses that eat 24/7, I said, that's me, same. I totally get that, so I'm not going to keep you too much longer. But in Numbers 13, we see that Moses sends 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And here's that number, and 10 come back with a fear response. 2, Joshua and Caleb, come back with a response of sonship, of faith. In verse 27, we have to read this, but the spies come back and they say, we have seen the land and it is good. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what God said, right? And it's flowing with milk and honey. But they start to spread this fear mentality. But the people who live there are strong, and the cities are fortified, and there's no way that we're going to be able to take it over. Let's look at verse 30 right here, though. And it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we will certainly conquer it. When we accept our identity in Christ, we have the faith of God to move boldly into which God has promised, without fear of anything, anyone, or any obstacle. See, the Lord's saying today that some of you have been told that you're supposed to pursue something and you're not doing it because of fear. Maybe that's, I don't know what that is. Maybe that's a business for you. Maybe that's stepping into an area of ministry. But he's saying today, go boldly. If I've promised you something, go boldly into that. Numbers 14, 22 through 24. Surely all men who have seen my glory and my miraculous signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, will by no means see the land which I swore to give to their fathers, nor will any who treated me disrespectfully and rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me with belief fully, I will bring you into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. See, the only thing different with Caleb and Joshua than all of the other Israelites is that they believed God. It wasn't because they were more special or capable or holier or did everything right. They believed God. We're going to look at this last passage for a few minutes. The children of Israel are finally about to enter the promised land. And in Joshua 1:1, it says, and now it happened after the death of Moses. Now it happened after the death of Moses. See, when we walk in a mentality that is anything other than a child of God, you not only keep yourself from reaching your destiny, but you keep those around you from reaching theirs as well. See, Moses should have been there with them. Moses is really the person that caused this whole thing because of his faith in God to work out. He should have been able to see the promised land. In the next few chapters of Joshua, we watch Joshua and Caleb fulfill God's promise, and they lead the Israelites into the promised land. And in Joshua 1, 5 through 7, it's the Lord speaking to Joshua, and he's preparing him to bring them into the promised land. And he says, "No man will be able to stand before you to oppose you as long as you live. Just as I was present with Moses, so will I be with you." I love this right here. "I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and confident and courageous, for you will give this people as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers, their ancestors, to give them." Only, he says it again, he has to remind them. He has to remind us of things sometimes, right? Just repeat it a few times. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do everything in accordance." See, now that they have the law, they have to do everything in accordance with the entire law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may prosper and be successful wherever you go." Did you know that it should have taken 11 days for the children of Israel to get to the promised land, but instead it took 40 years because they were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them? How many times have we wandered, and for how long, because we did not recognize the power of Christ and the freedom that he has given us? How many times have we retreated back to our former self of Christ? Or how often have we settled for the status quo because of our own view of ourselves instead of the identity that God has spoken over us? See, an identity that is anything other than a blood-bought believer will keep us roaming around in the wilderness of our life rather than arriving into the fullness of God's promises. You say, it's time to move. It's time to move. Amen. I'm going to pray for you guys this morning as our band comes up. And why don't you just close your eyes today and just receive the Lord. Just receive the love of the Lord this morning. He is so, so good, and he is so faithful to us. Jesus, we just bless your name today for who you are, God. We thank you. We thank you for a revelation of our identity in you, Jesus. We thank you that we are everything that you say that we are, God, that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we are qualified, that we are well able, that we are free because of your son, God. I thank you right now as I'm praying over the people of Discovery Church and those on live stream that there will be a revelation of your love, that everything that has held them captive, God, would be released right now in the name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that every single thing, every single purpose, and every single destiny that is called upon their lives will come to fruition. God, if we could just get out of our own way, Lord, if we would just stop looking at ourselves, God, and put our focus and our attention on who you say you are, God. He says that everything is going to happen. Everything is going to happen for you. The word of the Lord says, move out of the space of the wilderness, for I have not left you there. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So move out of that place and into your purpose this morning, because I love you and I have redeemed you and I have called you chosen. I have called you a chosen people, a royal priesthood. He says, put your eyes towards me. Put your eyes on me today. Put your eyes on me. Quit looking at yourself and your circumstance just like the children of Israel did. Put your attention on me and not of yourselves. For I am the one who was willing and able to redeem you this morning. For things that have held you captive, for mindsets, for behaviors, for addictions that have held you captive for years. He said, this morning, you are going to be made free. You are being made whole in the name of Jesus. And he says, I am shifting your mindset to one of a blood-bought believer today, not of a victim mentality, but one of more than a conqueror because of who I am. Come on, put your hands up this morning and receive everything that the Lord has for you today, God. I thank you for this congregation this morning, Jesus. I thank you for your protection. liberation over their lives. I thank you for their freedom today, God. I thank you that there are zero obstacles in their way this morning, God. I thank you for a refreshing anointing, Jesus. I thank you that they are bold enough to walk in their purpose and to walk into their calling and walk into their ministries that you have spoken over them even as a child, God. He said some of you have waited 40 years to step into the purpose that I told you when you were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. He said, what are you still doing in that place? He said, what are you still doing in that place? The word of the Lord says, it is time to move forward with boldness. It is time to quit giving. He's like saying, quit giving me your excuses. Are you not who I say that you are? Are you not who I say that you are? Are you not who I say that you are? He says, you are. You are everything I've told you that you are. We bless you this morning, Jesus. God, we thank you for your love today. Come on, can you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning for his goodness? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. It was so good seeing you today. Thank you for coming out to Discovery Church. Once again, if you're a visitor, I'd love to talk to you. We'd love to say hi to you. Thank you so much. Come back next week. You'll hear Pastor Steve minister. But have a wonderful week. Be blessed. I am believing for the favor of the Lord on your life. Amen.